The WWE promises us a fresh start. Becky Lynch cools off, and I start a new segment on this show. Let's talk about that.
Welcome to the WWE Podcast, your place for the most passionate wrestling analysis on the web.
Just turn Roman heel. What is WWE waiting for?
When other wrestling podcasts put you to sleep, you can count on the WWE Podcast to keep you engaged and asking for more.
I've been watching wrestling for over 20 years, and that was one of the best matches I've ever seen.
If you're easily offended, this may not be the show for you.
Whatever happened to the men being able to physically retaliate against the women in WWE? This is a fantasy environment.
This is unlike any other wrestling analysis. So without any further delay, let's get the show started right now.
Welcome to the WWE Podcast. It is just days before Christmas, so those of you that celebrate, Merry Christmas, not Happy Holidays. No. Enough of that vague garbage, that soft language that everybody needs to hear in case they get offended by the fact that they don't celebrate Christmas. Well, guess what? 90% of the United States celebrates Christmas, so I'm going to take a stab in the dark and wish you Merry Christmas. And if you're offended by it, well, then I guess you are no longer listening to this show. So, yeah, that kind of sets the tone for the mood I'm in today. So strap in, folks. Again, Merry Christmas to everybody. I hope that everybody has a happy, healthy Christmas, not holiday, Christmas once again. And obviously those of you that celebrate Hanukkah, which is now over, but yeah, happy late Hanukkah to all of those of you as well, and Kwanzaa and whatever else is celebrated out there. So guys, thank you for joining me. And once again, follow me on Twitter at the WWE Podcast, and also on iTunes, which is now Apple Podcast, and Spreaker, and Spotify, and iHeartRadio. This show can be found anywhere that you have apps that download audio and listen to music and stream and all of that good stuff. This show should be there. So thank you, guys. And by the way, just wanted to tell you that at the beginning of the show where I said, you know, let's talk about that. Well, if those of you who are Good Mythical Morning fans, yes, that is a direct ripoff of the show. Just so you know, and I am fully admitting that, and I love that show. But by the way, if you haven't seen it, it's just this nonsensical show. It's a show about nothing, but it's just so entertaining and takes your mind off everything. And it's a great escape from reality of just them, the two guys eating foods that you'd never eat and talking about things. And it's just great. I know I did not do a great job of advertising it, but if you haven't seen it, they're on YouTube. It's Good Mythical Morning. So if you see it and hear it and, you know, the whole let's talk about that phrase. Yeah, I may use that going forward. And I fully admit and don't care that I've ripped off the show, because it's three words. I don't care. It works. Like it. And let's move forward. For those of you who are like, hey, wait a minute. Yeah, I did. And boy, I told you, I'm fired up, guys. I know it's Christmas week, and I still got some shopping to do. And it's just days away from Christmas, and I'm that last minute shopper. And that's just the way it is every year. I say I'm not going to do it, and every year, guess what I do? I do it. And I'm sure many of you out there can probably relate to that procrastination of purchasing your gifts. It's too late to pretty much, unless you want to pay for, you know, take a second mortgage on your house to pay for overnight shipping. Online shopping is pretty much out, so you got to go bare the malls and shopping centers and, you know, actually brick and mortar places and deal with the traffic and the lines and the people, all of it. So yeah, that's what we've done to ourselves. That's what we've done to ourselves at this point. If you haven't shopped and got everything done, like you are in my shoes, welcome. Welcome. We're going to go through hell over the next couple of days to get what we need. And but once again, all right, that's enough of that. Let's go into a little bit of wrestling. And yeah, I watched SmackDown. Yeah, I watched Raw. And boy, I think there's only one thing to talk about. We are going to talk about that. And yeah, we're going to get to the McMahon deal, which I have a lot to say on that. And before I get to that, because the majority of the show is going to be on this whole fresh start. And yes, we have the Royal Rumble coming up. We are officially, to me, in WrestleMania season. But I want to talk quickly about Becky, and then I'll get into that. The whole Becky cooling off thing. I think there's really no other way to put it other than Becky feels like she's cooled off. I don't know if it's because she hasn't been able to really, I guess, get physical or has been physical on her shows or on SmackDown Live other than at the pay-per-view. Okay. She doesn't feel as just unpredictable. She doesn't, I know Eric Bischoff has recently said that he feels Becky Lynch is the next Stone Cold. Well, that's really, really, really big shoes to fill, almost impossibly big, unfairly big shoes to fill for Becky Lynch. And I have a problem with that because I don't want Becky Lynch to be Stone Cold. I want Becky Lynch to be the next Becky Lynch. I don't want her being Stone Cold. Although, in my new segment that I'm starting, and I may make exclusive to my Patreon feed, which, by the way, is ad-free. You can get on the show. You can have a whole show dedicated to just what you want me to talk about for a half an hour and a whole lot more. Get a shout-out on the show and so forth. I may make this segment a longer extrapolation of itself and may make it, as I said, its own show and may not make this on the free feed. So I want to give you guys a preview of what's in my brain. And it's a segment called What If. That's what the segment's going to be called. And looking to get a little more professional audio done for this and really make it a bigger thing than just a sideshow on the main show here on this main feed. But I'm going to get to that in a moment, too. But let me get back to Becky, and then I'll talk about the McMahons and that whole deal. And then I'll get into my new segment, which I think you guys will enjoy. So the Becky Lynch thing. So, yeah, she feels a little bit just not herself. People are saying she's moping. I don't know if she's moping. She just kind of feels a little lost right now without direction. Okay, she lost the SmackDown Women's Championship. I'm fine with that because they need her to get to Ronda Rousey. That's the destination, so I'm fine with it. And that's what I predicted, but it was that Asuka would take the belt and Becky Lynch would be on her crash course with Ronda Rousey, or she says Ronnie, at WrestleMania. And that's cool. I'm fine with it. I think Asuka needed a little bit of a jolt to her career. After WrestleMania, she kind of fell into oblivion and then has been treading water at best since then. So adding the championship to her for a belt that actually means a great deal, to be honest with you. I think it's one of the most valuable championships in WWE right now. I would argue even more than the United States Championship on SmackDown Live is the Women's Championship. And I think it's a great thing to do for Asuka right now. The fans have been behind her even with the terrible booking, which is a testament to Asuka herself, because clearly WWE had nothing to do with the fan support. If you're just booking a superstar 50-50, putting her in the background, not featuring her, having her do jobs, and the fans still react to her, that is called an organic connection. That's something that doesn't come along that often. And when the fans fight through the booking, WWE needs to listen. And I think that, I don't know if it's a product of WWE really listening as much as it is a product of WWE trying to get Becky Lynch to where they want her to go and hopefully not get Charlotte to join her on that ride. If you guys have listened to me, you know that I am a big proponent of not having a triple threat match at WrestleMania with Charlotte, Ronda, and Becky. Okay, I'll just speak my piece to that and you can hear this in a much more long form and passionate, really just outrage of if WWE does this triple threat on my last show in the week before. But basically, the WrestleMania main event is one-on-one. And to me, any WrestleMania should be one-on-one. Main event should be one-on-one. Don't think that adding more to this equation is going to make this whole match better. More will equal less. And so you can't look at math, logical math, on this match. It needs to be Becky and Ronda, period. Don't add anything else. Okay, if you want to make it no disqualification, or fine. But it's Becky, it's Ronda. Tell that story. It's there. Don't add Charlotte, because Vince McMahon has Charlotte as the model of what a WWE female superstar version of the women's division of a la Roman Reigns be, okay? This is Becky's year. and I've said that, and I'll continue to say it, and then I'll leave it at that. So I think that trading, really moving the championship off of Becky and onto Asuka served two purposes. It jolted Asuka's career, and obviously it frees up Becky to get a shot at Ronda. I won't tell you the spoilers, obviously, for next week with Raw and SmackDown being pre-taped and having two shows really back-to-back that were taped last week, or actually this past week, in front of the same audience. So I won't give you any spoilers if you want to go and look at them yourselves online. They're all over the place. But I caught something off guard, I was caught off guard with something that I shouldn't have seen. But nonetheless, Becky is on a collision course with Ronda, and let's keep it that way. And I just think Becky doesn't feel, she doesn't feel like she did as hot as she was when she invaded Raw and when she initially turned. And the momentum has somewhat stalled. I don't want to say she's moving backwards, but it's like chewing the same piece of gum. Like, it's exciting at first, and you get a lot of flavor, and it's great. And then it starts to get a little stale, and you need another piece of gum. It's time to put another piece of gum in your mouth, is what I'm saying from a creative standpoint. And do some, we need to do a little bit more something with Becky, whether it's maybe making her a little bit rebellious against the authority, okay? Maybe they do a little bit of a Stone Cold deal and parallel her with a little bit of what he did. I'm not saying to mimic Stone Cold's career, but what I'm saying is maybe based on the promo she had on SmackDown coming out and basically shunning the whole corporate garbage that was spewed backstage from Shane and basically publicly firing Paige in a nice way that Paige seemed so receptive to was absolutely ridiculous. And Becky crapping all over that segment, that was cool. And it made her feel a little bit anti-authority. So maybe she gets a little bit of backlash for not showing there. I'm not sure, but if they make her the anti-hero and the anti-authority figure, that may work. I won't, you know, bet the house or bet the farm on it. I don't own a farm. House is more applicable, but I would say that I'd be willing to give that a shot and see that through. But we'll have to see. I'm just excited to see where they're going, but it's just time to keep moving. They've been standing still with Becky for a few weeks now. We need to move forward. There needs to be something done with her. The injury obviously halted her momentum, but as we all know, it could have been a blessing in disguise with Ronda inevitably meeting Becky at WrestleMania in a one-on-one fashion. And I'll just say one-on-one so I speak it and not even think about another alternative. So let's get into what most people are talking about this week and the number one storyline coming out of this week, whether it's SmackDown or Raw, and that is this whole fresh start. So I defended it on Twitter, and I've also given it a bit of a hit. Initially, I gave it a hit that, so this is supposed to be a fresh start, and this is vaguely what I tweeted out. By the way, follow me at the WWE podcast with a underscore in between each word. Don't do just the single WWE podcast. Some clown has it that hasn't used that Twitter name. Yeah, pisses me off. But, I basically tweeted out that, so this is supposed to be a fresh start, and the McMahons are coming out saying that they're going to be taking over Raw and SmackDown. Yet, we all know that behind the scenes, that's what they're doing anyway. How is this a fresh start? And how is Triple H saying there's gone are the days of absentee management? Who's not there? I mean, even in storyline perspective, Baron Corbin's been there every week. You know, prior to that, Kurt Angle was there every week. Prior to that, I mean, what, the authority was there every week. So now it's the super authority is what we got from a storyline perspective, and I guess kind of in real life, I guess it's kind of a weird dynamic because we know all four of them, probably some more than others, have been really running Raw behind the scenes anyway. So this absentee management line made no sense because who's not there? Who? Tell me, who out of that management team is not there on a weekly basis that should be. That's what absentee management is, that they're just letting things ride without any direction or any real guidance or leadership. Well, really? That made no sense. Zero. I'm just giving you a bit of my criticisms, and then I'm going to defend it because I want to play both sides, but I really feel both sides. This is a tough one. This is a really tough one, and it's a very controversial topic right now. And the problem is we're in a society that wants everything right now and all the change right now. We want to see all your cards played right now. All right, so I'm going to get to that in just a minute. But back to the knocking it a bit, or as we say, critiquing or constructive criticism, if I want to be a professional podcaster, right? I don't want to rip it just to rip it and try to get clicks. But would be, you know, a couple of the knocks would be, well, Stephanie said they're suffocating their superstars. Is that a roughly translated, if you're breaking kayfabe, to we're scripting our stars, not letting them be who they want to be? And we're micromanaging them a little bit too much and not letting them spread their wings and show us what they can do without having to be, you know, handheld in promos, handheld in the ring? Maybe. I'm thinking that's what that word meant, was all of that. And so, and Vince McMahon seems lost, okay? Am I the only one that feels Vince McMahon? It doesn't feel like Vince McMahon. I know he's 72 years old or whatever, but he feels like he's just lost. And I don't mean like, yeah, he's out of touch with the fans. Well, okay, I think that's long been the standing for Vince McMahon for some time now. I think really what started with the Roman Reigns push that just did not stop and fans revolted for 4 years. But Vince just didn't seem like himself, and he hasn't on TV for a while. You know, when Vince McMahon was announced to be coming back to Raw, you're expecting something with substance. You're expecting something massive. And it was Vince McMahon coming out and basically saying, okay, yeah, we hear you. You're changing with the times. Cool. And, you know, what? So what? Like what? So Vince, Triple H comes out and basically trolls us and says we're the authority. Well, if you're an organization that's successful and you don't listen to the fan base, what are you doing? I mean, what are you doing before? I mean, so your policy before was, well, we're going to listen to you up to a point, but we're going to give you what we think is best for you. And what you guys really want, it's not what we want. So it's, you know, you're not really in charge, but we're going to pretend you are. I mean, like, what is this? I'm not following the logic there. That, I mean, I guess it seems like lip service. It all seems like eyewash right now. It's all just like, yeah, that sounds good. And it's all just these vague phrases. And they almost went out there and were politicians. They felt like politicians coming out there and just saying these vague things that, you know, fans are frustrated and, you know, like the things that I guess fans have been complaining about, that, you know, they're addressing them in very vague ways and giving you vague solutions and no detailed plan. Okay, I understand too, but the problem is they're also riding a fine line that they're running a show that is based in fantasy and is all scripted and written, and they have to play that within the narrative of actually being real to a point where we hear your criticisms about our storylines, but we can't say they're storylines. It's a weird dynamic. It's weird. It's hard. It's a fine line, and it's a balancing act, really. So I get all of that. It just, they felt like politicians giving us vague crap is what it felt like. And Triple H saying, we're the authority. So what does that mean? Are you going to give us Taboo Tuesday every Monday? We're going to vote on all the matches? Like what? Or vote on the main event? Like, what are we supposed to do? Text in our vote for what we think should happen for the next pay-per-view? Like, how are we the authority? In what way? How are you going to measure that? Like, what? I just have so many questions. All this vagary is frustrating. I feel like I'm being trolled by WWE. Like, they came out and said that, and we're all supposed to go, yay! I mean, yeah, they're listening to us. Well, there's a difference between hearing and listening. They're hearing us, but are they listening to us? And furthermore, are they taking action on what they're actually saying? So those are my criticisms on this whole thing. And Shane McMahon on SmackDown, you know, sitting in the locker room with heels and faces and saying you're responsible for your actions and, you know, this is SmackDown Live. And, you know, it was, I don't like those segments. It takes all the storylines and throws them in the garbage all at once. I don't think it did anybody any service. I appreciate Daniel Bryan, not breaking character. He did not clap for Shane McMahon. And then he publicly fires Paige, and I guess in the nicest way he could. And by the way, the storyline that was dropped was Shane McMahon was turning heel, and apparently it was going to happen in January. I still think it should happen. I don't think WWE should just pander to the audience and make them all happy and have all happy ending to every match and make everybody feel good and double smiles now for everybody in WWE. It's not just about putting smiles on people's faces. We're going to keep that smile on your face throughout the show because now we're afraid to do anything heelish and turn anybody heel now because you guys are all mad. Well, no, we need those heels. I love a good heel turn. When it's done right, it makes me pissed. I want to feel angry. Don't shy away from that, because that's how you get a babyface hot. When you have a heel that you want to see get their backside kicked, guess what you want? Someone to step up and do it. So I hope WWE does not shy away from heel turns when needed. Or taking established heels, people that are already turned heel, and making them, you know, basically have them get the best of them from their baby faces every single week, and the baby faces shine every single week. That's not what I want. I love good heel heat because it makes me come back and want to see them get theirs and get their comeuppance. That's just how it works in any movie, TV show, or basic human psychology. I mean, that's just what it is. And then Shane McMahon saying that automatic title rematches are antiquated. And then that's part of the problem. What? Okay. I have never heard anybody say that that is an antiquated that the whole concept is antiquated. I've never heard that. I've never said that. I've never complained about it. And I don't think it's an issue. I really don't. I mean, I don't know how. I don't feel strongly either way because I guess it takes the... Oh, well, if, you know, for instance, Becky loses the belt, and we have to give her the contractual title rematch on the next pay-per-view, but we'd like to go move Becky here, but, well, we can't because of this contractual obligation. Well, why? To me, if you're a champion in any sport, I mean, especially if you lose in controversial fashion or if it's a... the incumbent champion loses by just a hair or, you know, what have you. I don't know. I don't think it's a problem. I really don't. So it's, to me, it's not antiquated at all. I'm not following that concept. I don't know where that came from. So that part of it's a mess. And yes, both shows largely felt the same. We got about, what, 6, 7, 8 new names coming. Okay, Lars Sullivan, Nikki Cross, which already kind of debuted, right? Already debuted. And obviously Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn returning and EC3, which I think would be an awesome addition to the main roster. I think it's time to bring him up. All right, I think it's long overdue and he's more than ready. So we got some Heavy Machinery, obviously, too. Heavy Machinery, I think, is, if done right, I think could be an awesome addition. And when I say if done right, don't reinvent the wheel. Don't reinvent the wheel. I mean, Vince, please. That's the thing. Like, I know that NXT is looked at as a third brand. But does it have to be? Does it always have to be the feeding ground for the main roster? It's hard because NXT is part of WWE. They're not competing necessarily with their own other products that they have. But you want it to be a strong product that can stand on its own two legs and isn't just a feeding ground or a feeding farm, whatever you call it, I guess, for the SmackDown and Raw shows. I really think that SmackDown, that NXT could be its own show and stand on its own two legs. And it's clearly being proven. And every time they have an NXT TakeOver show, I think that it's getting more and more successful. But when they pull these large stars away from NXT and they put them on the main roster, I'm fearful now. I get scared that they're going to mess it up because they've done it. They've done it. Look at Apollo Crews. Where's he at? He's grown a beard since he came in, and we're supposed to all just change our opinions about him. Yeah, you know, I don't know if he's stopped smiling since he came up. Maybe he could stop that. I don't care if he's a babyface. Doesn't matter. Stop smiling, please. I don't care if you have a $400 million smile. It makes me want to, you know, basically knock it down to a $2 smile. I mean, it's obnoxious. I can't stand Apollo Crews' smile because he does it way too much. All right. I mean, look at Ascension. They're a joke. They're the butt of the joke of the tag team division. They're non-competitive. They are in oblivion. They are living in oblivion is where the Revival or Ascension is. And until recently, Revival was knocking at that door too. I mean, Tyler Breeze, I could go on. It scares me when they bring these people up that Vince doesn't know what the hell to do with them and he has to change what they do with us. This is the main roster. The fans don't know. They don't watch NXT. Well, how do you know that what the WWE audience that's watching NXT and supported these individuals that you're bringing up aren't going to follow them to the main roster and support them there? And how do you know that the psychology of what worked for those fans that are supporting them from NXT, that psychology won't work for the fans that are already established and may not even know who they are coming up to the main roster and watch SmackDown and Raw only? It's just ridiculous. So no need to reinvent the wheel. I mean, they've destroyed Bayley since she came up, destroyed her, killed her. I mean, really. When it was such an easy gimmick to get, blown it up. And Vince McMahon, as I said, feels lost. Just on the mic, he doesn't sound like himself. He's like spaced out. He's doing weird things with The Miz. He's all about manhood. I don't even know where he's going. Like, he's not funny. It's Vince, so you're watching, but there's nothing there. It's like a shell of Vince McMahon. It's a shell of himself, of who he was on TV, and maybe backstage he's different. I don't know, but not the Vince McMahon I knew. It's not. I mean, coming out and burying Becky Lynch, giving Asuka a championship match, I mean, I don't understand what the hell's going on. I mean, I'm not following it. Well, what I'm trying to say is Vince coming out on SmackDown, and cool to see him on SmackDown Live. I don't even know the last time that was. But him coming out and basically demoralizing Becky and making fun of Asuka, who was trying to pretend was hiding behind Charlotte. I mean, Naomi. I meant Naomi. Him giving Naomi a championship match, not Asuka, on SmackDown Live. Naomi? What? And then telling Becky that if she has a problem with Ronda, to go take it up with Ronda. Basically saying that this brand split means nothing. Zero. Ugh. I don't understand it. I really don't. I'll be honest, I wish Shane would turn heel. It's time. The whole World Cup win, all that I predicted before this whole quote shakeup / fresh start took place. I really believe that it should be time for Shane to turn. And I still do. I really hope it happens. I'm tired of Shane. I really am. And Stephanie McMahon on Raw, we're all just supposed to cheer them now? Why? Why? I mean, Stephanie is the biggest culprit of all of this, to be honest with you. I mean, Vince McMahon writes the stories, of course. But you all know what I think about Stephanie McMahon. Great promo, but she just, I don't know if it's the writers who are too scared to make Stephanie look like the butt of a joke. They always have to make her, make sure she stands tall, figuratively and literally, making sure she has 8-inch heels that she towers over everybody in the ring, and she looks like the biggest person there, and then everybody else are just little school children. I can't stand the way that she's booked, written, and advertised and produced. I hate it. And then, like I said, with her coming out and always making sure that everybody knows that WWE is not a real, it's not real. I just play a bad guy on TV, all that stuff. I just despise it. She's all about the charity crap. Yeah, and it's charity crap. It is. It's charity. You don't support it. Don't get me started. Okay, I've ranted on this way too many times, and I will spare you today because it's Christmas. All right. But let's get to the good part of this. Yeah, there's a good part. There is. And people are telling me that, you know, you're wrong if WWE, you think WWE is going to change. You really think that Vince is going to do your change? We haven't seen any change. Look at Raw and SmackDown. First of all, I'll say slow down. Relax. Breathe. So, when was the last time that WWE made this big of a declaration? In the last 20 years, tell me when WWE said that they were going to make this big of a change creatively. And we're public about it. Oh, I know. Attitude Era. When Vince famously came out and it was a backstage cut promo, and Vince came on there and said that the days of, you know, good guys taking their vitamins and saying their prayers is definitely passé. And, you know, we've embarked on a new creative envelope of a much more, I don't know, edgy product, basically, ushering in TV-14. And they did that. And it was, I don't even need to talk about it. Obviously, it was the most successful WWE has ever been, ever. Then they changed back to TV-PG. Following the times, adjusting with the times, as Vince said, and did that for a number of reasons: to get sponsorships, and then going public. They did not want to be a product that advertised blood, guts, gore, violence, and sex with a TV, with a product that was TV-14, and really was, I think, and they believe, limiting their audience of who they could reach by just, you know, by having that type of edgy product. You're cutting out the families that are, especially the younger generation, are the next generation of fans. So sponsorships, money, Wall Street, and creating a next generation of fans led to TVPG. And we got TVPG for better or worse. I have my thoughts on it, but that's another 45-minute show that I won't get into. And they did it, and I think successfully. I really do. To times, cheesy at times, eye-rolling at times. But even TV-14 brought us that once in a while as well. So when WWE says they're going to do something, by and large, they've done it. At least when they declare something on this big of a scale, they've done it. So I'm going to go that WWE, I'm going to give them a good faith effort here and give them time. Boy, there's a concept. Time. Do you think WWE is going to show their entire hand in one night? Yes, the product largely felt the same on Raw and SmackDown. Yes, it did. But in this gotta have it now world, we all need to take a step back and realize, first of all, Triple H said in the coming weeks and months, it was one night. We've had two shows since that was spoken. Two. Relax. We have time here. Now, if by WrestleMania, I would say if by WrestleMania we still don't see a change on a week-to-week basis, okay, then maybe WWE should be jumped for this. And it was just lip service, and we can say that this is all just for optics. And just to really just pretend that we're going to listen to you, but we're really not going to change anything. Okay, let's give it time. Breathe. Let it breathe. They can't just drop all their storylines that they are in the middle of telling during this creative lull and snooze that they've had. They have to continue with them. And I understand that it's going to take time. And I'm a patient wrestling fan. I am. And most people, I don't think, are. People need to realize that this is an organization that has so many moving parts. You think they're going to blow up everything in one night and just go, well, I don't know what the hell we're going to do. We're just going to change everything. We're just going to change everything and let's see what happens. Well, no, you need a plan. I think it's going to be baby steps with this. I don't think it's going to be one Monday night where everything feels different. It's just going to be a little bit here, a little bit there, step by step by step by step. And if they're smart, they will. If any business was smart, they will. They wouldn't just completely blow up the model that's been working for decades to just say, oh, well, we changed everything. How do you like it? Well, hopefully you like it. Well, gee, let's cross our fingers. Oh, boy, we just changed everything. Hopefully it works. And then they look clueless and go, what the hell was that? I mean, no. If they're smart, I expect baby steps. They're a business, folks. A business, a very successful business, very lucrative business. They got cash coming out their ears. But if you're a successful business, you understand that change doesn't happen overnight. Change needs to be done very carefully and strategically. And I think a year from now, we could see a very different production product from a production standpoint, from a storyline standpoint. We could. We very well could. But it's going to take time, and I think we'll get nuggets every week. Little bit here, little bit there. Oh, that's different. Yeah, I think that's how it's going to go. And if any successful business would do the same damn thing. You're not going to have some radical idea, some wacky idea to blow up the entire model. Okay, we're still going to get commercials in the matches, middle of matches. We're still going to get probably general managers or whoever, not general managers now, people on their cell phones when the camera cuts to them. Maybe that'll go by the wayside. Maybe baby faces will stop paying attention when music hits and getting distracted and looking like fools. All of it. So, I think step by step, guys. Step by step, they're going to address it. But they need to continue to make progress. They can't just sit on their asses. They need to keep moving, and I think they will. But we'll see. We will see. All right, so now it's time for my new segment. I don't have music for it, but I will. But it's brand new because it came out of my head last week. I don't know. I think I woke up with this idea or something. But this is a segment that I like to call What If. Now, this What If segment is this whole idea is what would happen if? And it's just stuff that is maybe what if so-and-so didn't turn heel? What if Austin didn't turn heel, for example? What if The Rock didn't go to Hollywood and stayed in WWE? You know, things like that. So I'm going to be addressing all these topics, just the what ifs, and I'm going to make them realistic, okay? It's not going to be off the wall crap, all right? Not like, you know, what if the gobbledygooker became WWE champion, okay? No. It's going to be realistic stuff that I wonder about. And maybe if you guys have a suggestion for the what if portion of the show, tweet me at the WWE podcast with it. I'd love to hear your ideas for the what if. Keep it to a single topic or question, and I can just really lay in thick to it, and we can talk about it. So this whole what if this week, what if Becky Lynch used the Stone Cold Stunner as her finisher? What do you guys think about that? I think the only drawbacks would be, first of all, John Cena tried it. I don't think that was misplaced. Okay, I get that. Didn't really fit John Cena's character anyway, and it was just a clear, why would you do that anyway? I don't get it. But Becky Lynch has been compared to Stone Cold, and I'm not advocating she be Stone Cold, and I know she needs to not pretend to be Stone Cold, and I know she needs to distance herself if anybody's trying to make her the next Stone Cold. I'll be honest, I would not want to be the next Stone Cold, because then you're compared to that person forever, a guy that was the most successful money-drawing individual in the history of wrestling ever. End of story. And it's unfair to do that. It's anytime you have, Becky's did that, but Austin did that better. No. That's why you don't want to be compared to anybody else. You want to be your own person. But what if Becky did? Do you think it would work? I think it might. I think it has a shot. Or maybe doing that stomp in the corner. Maybe not flipping people off because we're in PG era, blah, blah, blah. But what if Becky did? What if Becky used the Stone Cold Stunner as her finishing maneuver? I mean, she has the disarmer. I get it. It's well established. But what if she did it? Would people pop? it'd get people talking. She'd have to execute it to perfection to make sure that people didn't think it was a different move. You know, like Jeff Hardy's twist of fate stunner thing, that to me, it should just be the Matt Hardy twist of fate where they just land like an RKO. I don't like Jeff Hardy's twist of fate stunner thing. It's, to me, it's, no, the stunner should be the stunner. I don't know, it bothers me. But what if Becky Lynch did that? I think it'd be awesome. The crowd would go crazy. I think especially if she pulled it out of the hat at WrestleMania and stunned Ronda Rousey. Think about that. I think the crowd would blow up. Just think of just a little bit of food for thought. So that's in this week in What If. So again, that'll be a weekly thing. And as I said, it will probably be its own little show, maybe 15, 20 minute show on my patreon.com/WWE podcast. If you want to check that out, which the link's in my bio feed, for $1 a month, you can get all these ads out of here and you can hear these exclusive audio shows on patreon.com/WWE podcast. So, all right, well, that's all I have for today, guys. Thank you for listening. And as always, you know, please have a happy Christmas. Merry Christmas. I'm not going to wish anybody a happy holiday. That can you know, hit the bricks. That's what I say about that. But everybody, Merry Christmas and enjoy it with your families and friends. Don't drink too much. And if you do, call an Uber. All right. or just take your mom's couch, your aunt's couch, your uncle's couch, and don't drive. Everybody, you know, endure your families. Okay. I know there's always those aunts, uncles, cousins, or people that you only see once a year that you dread because it's like, I gotta talk to these people. I have to fake it for a couple hours with these people. I don't know what the hell to talk to them about with. Okay, I don't know. And I'm okay. First of all, that's not really the case with me. I'm pretty lucky on both sides, but I had people in the past that I dreaded seeing their families. Okay, because I didn't like them, but I had to pretend to like them. And that's just leave it there. But anyway, so guys, thank you for joining me again. I'll be back. Just because it's the holidays doesn't mean you're not going to hear me. I probably won't be on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day, but the following day on Wednesday, the 26th, you will more than likely hear my voice. And by then, hopefully Santa was good to all of you. Until then, guys, as always, I'll talk to you next time.